If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Acts chapter 9, kind of once again. Today we're actually jumping back into Acts, into our series titled The Force Awakens. Last week, if you were here, I was coming off my week of vacation, so I had asked Lynn Wicker, who's one of our women's ministry leaders, to share with us last week, and she shared a beautiful message of the journey that she's been on in learning how to walk in obedience, right? This thing we've been talking about, walking in obedience. And I know many people who commented to me on how blessed they were by her testimony, by her authenticity, and even her transparency as she talked about just the challenges of being obedient, of walking in obedience, especially when God asks us to do things we aren't sure that we're capable of doing. And so if you didn't get a chance to hear her share last week, I encourage you to go and to listen to it online. We have it online. It was just a great testimony and a great word that she shared with us. Now, this week we're going to be finishing up Acts chapter 9. It's our third week in this chapter. If you've been with us through the series, you know that the last really several messages that we've been walking through here in Acts have centered around a man named Saul, right? Who we know later as Paul, who wrote many of the books in the Bible. And so that's what we've been talking about. But at the end of chapter 9, our author here, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, he kind of switches gears. And he kind of brings us back to a well-known disciple named Peter. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me here as we're going to read Acts chapter 9, verses 32 through 43, and this amazing story of Peter and the miracles that he gets to be a part of. This is what it says here, beginning in verse 32. As Peter traveled around the country, I guess he was free to move about the country. He went to visit, some of you caught that, the saints in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat. Immediately, Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, which I would stick with Tabitha myself, but who was all, and no offense, I hope there's no one named Dorcas out there this morning, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died. And her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothes that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. Apparently Peter liked Tabitha better too. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. I forgot to put my place back. Now I lost it. This section of Scripture, it's another amazing picture of the power of Jesus at work here in the early church. Once again, we see Peter get to be a part of an amazing miracle that happens in people's lives, or a couple miracles that happen in these people's lives. And as I read through these scriptures again and again, there was one thing in particular that began to stand out to me. And it's kind of the main point of my message this morning. The main idea, which is this: we are called to follow the example of Jesus. All of us, we are called to follow the example of Jesus. You see, as we read these two miracles that Peter is a part of, there's something strangely familiar about them. As I read them, I was, you know, it's one of those things, it's like, man, these sound so familiar. And they're very similar miracles that we see Jesus do early on in the Gospels. In John 5, there is a paralytic, much like this man, Aeneas, that Peter encountered. And listen to what Jesus says to him in John 5:8. He says, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed or mat, right, and walked. Sound familiar? And then in Luke 8, there was a girl who was dead, just like Tabitha. And listen to what Jesus does in verses 54 and 55 of Luke 8. He says, "He put them all outside." Sound familiar? "Took her by the hand and called, saying, 'Little girl, arise.' Then her spirit returned, and she rose immediately." Peter here, he was doing the same things that Jesus did. And it's because he knew he was called to follow the examples of Jesus. He was doing the things that he had learned from Jesus himself. And I'm guessing that he remembered what Jesus told them and the other disciples in John 14. John 14:12. Jesus says this to his disciples: "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. That's what Jesus told the disciples. And that's exactly what Peter's doing here. He's following the example that Jesus had taught him in the years that he followed Jesus. He's doing the same things that Jesus did. And I believe God desires the same things from us today if we believe, right? You see, God doesn't save us so we can just kind of sit back and go, "All right, I'm good. Can't wait till Jesus comes back and I can just, you know, golf forever in heaven," or whatever, right? Hole in one. Man, nobody can win up here. We all get hole in ones. He didn't save us so that we could just sit back and wait for Jesus to come back. He saved us so that we can then begin to follow His example and do the things that He did, the things that He was doing. Now, here's the key. If we're going to follow Jesus' examples, we have to know His examples, right? We have to know, what is it that Jesus did? What are the things? And again, you've heard me say this time and time again, but this is why it's so important that we take time to get into God's Word. That we take time to allow Him to speak to us through His Word, to show us His examples, to show us the life that He led, the things that He's done, the things that He desires for us to do. Because as we read His Word, it's then that we see those things and that God reveals those things to us. And then when we live them out, when we walk in obedience, that word, it keeps coming up today, right? When we walk in obedience and follow the example of Jesus, guess what? Miracles happen. Peter got to be a part of some pretty amazing miracles. And the reality is, there are all kinds of miracles that happen in our lives when we follow the example of Jesus. Some of them we don't even realize. Now this morning, I want to highlight three miracles that we see happen in these scriptures. As Peter follows the example of Jesus, we see three miracles happen. And I think we can see these same things happen in our own lives when we follow the example of Jesus. The first one is this. Jesus can meet our physical needs. That's what He did. He met Aeneas' physical needs. He was paralyzed, and in those times it meant that if you were paralyzed, you were pretty much bedridden. And we know from the Scriptures here that he had been confined to a bed for 8 years. For 8 years he's been in bed. Now, we don't know what happened to him. The Scriptures don't tell us every little detail on how this came about. Whether he was in an accident or whether it was from some kind of disease. We don't know how old he was. We don't know if he had a family, what that was like. But I think it's safe to say that being paralyzed back in these times would have been extremely challenging. It would have been a huge challenge just to take care of himself, right? They didn't have things like, they didn't have wheelchairs and things to get around like we have today. They didn't have some of these things. It would have been a huge challenge just to take care of himself, or even a challenge for others to take care of him. And so the reality is he had a huge physical need in his life. And it's amazing. We see Jesus come and meet that need. Jesus healed him. I believe this. I believe Jesus can meet our physical needs. And those needs are going to look different. But He is our provider. He takes care of us in every aspect, in every way. And I believe it starts by us learning to follow Jesus. As we learn to walk in His ways, as we learn to live this life that He's called us to live from His Scriptures, we begin to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Obedience, that's what it does. Obedience opens the door for the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This power that comes from the Holy Spirit, it's the same power that Peter was experiencing here in Acts chapter 9. It's the same power. It's a pretty amazing thing when you think about that. The same power that was in Jesus, the same power that was in Peter and Paul and these amazing disciples, is the same power that's given to us. Jesus wants to meet our needs. I truly believe that Jesus can meet our physical needs. But I also know that the ways in which He does it might look different. Doesn't always look the way that we think it should look. We want God to do it this way, but God does it this way. But God wants to meet our needs. The key is that we're following Him and allowing Him to use us in the process. Peter was being used in the process as he walked in obedience, because whether it's praying for someone when they're sick or ill or have struggles or challenges, or whether it's feeding the hungry, helping someone in this way or that way to meet the physical needs that they have, whatever it may be, God wants us to follow His example. And He wants to use us to do miracles in people's lives, to meet the physical needs of those around us. And it's us following in the example of Jesus, doing what He tells us to do. And as we do that, we trust in Him. And we trust in His hand upon people's lives. Amen? Now the other thing that we see happen in these scriptures as a result of following Jesus' example is the fact that Jesus can restore life. He brought someone back to death. As Peter goes to Joppa, he finds this woman Tabitha who has died, and everybody is mourning her death. But like Jesus did in Luke, He prays for this woman, and she comes back to life. It's amazing. There are several stories in the Bible where people are raised from the dead, where life is restored. Jesus has the power to restore life. And here's the thing, that this restoration of life, though, it happens in the physical, but it also can happen for those that are spiritually dead. And the amazing thing is that Jesus has power over any kind of death. It doesn't matter what kind of death people have or are experiencing in their lives. He has power over any kind of death, the kind of power that is able to restore life, physically or spiritually. Now, we may not see a lot of people today raised from the dead, right? But it does happen. It is still happening around our world. I have heard a couple accounts from missionaries that have experienced people today, in today's time, being raised from the dead. One of the ones I remember, there was a missionary that came to Beaverton Foursquare, and I didn't get to hear him. I was at a thing with a youth pastor from Beaverton the day after it. And he just starts, he goes, "Oh my gosh, this guy, it's amazing." And I think he was a missionary in Africa. But he begins, he's like, "Oh my goodness, have you heard the stories and what God is doing in and through this man? It's just amazing." And he begins to tell me this story of how this missionary was walking. I don't remember. It seemed like there was maybe some territory battles going on between different tribes and stuff. I don't remember the whole story. I just remember the miracle itself. And they had, the missionary was walking with a few people from the tribe that he was a part of, and they came and one of their tribe's members was hanging from a tree. I mean, hanging, like dead. Had been hung, been killed by somebody. And they said he'd probably been there for 3 or 4 days. And the missionary said, "Take him down." They took him down. And the missionary then laid hands on him and began to pray. And then all of a sudden this guy sat up. Got up and walked back with them back to their village. And this was like 6-7 years ago when I heard this story. It was before I left from Newburgh. But it's those kind of stories that are like, God does still do those things today. And I've heard other accounts of God raising people physically. But there's much more to our lives than just the physical aspect. Think about this. Unless Jesus comes back in the next, let's just say 100 years, all right? I'm trying to think who's the youngest person in here. So unless Ben lives to be 113 or maybe some younger kids over there, to be like 108 or 109. If Jesus comes back as long as Jesus doesn't come back within the next 100 years, all of us here are going to experience physical death in our lives. It's just a part of life, right? We're going to experience physical death. And listen to this. Even those in the Bible, right here, Tabitha, she was raised from the dead. But she eventually did die a physical death, right? Everybody except for Jesus, right? Lazarus was risen from the dead 4 days in the grave, but he eventually did experience a physical death. And it poses this question, though, after that physical death, where are they spending eternity? Is it in the presence of God? Or is it outside the presence of God? Because that is hell, okay? Outside the presence of God. People say, "What's hell? I don't know. I don't want to know." Because the only reason this world stays together in the midst of its fallenness is because the presence of God is still here. But hell is void, absence of the presence of God. And I don't in my life want to experience that. I don't think any of us, if we really understood that, would. And so it raises the reality that the more important miracle is the restoration of our spiritual lives. The fact that Jesus can take the spiritually dead and make them whole again. Because if we aren't brought to life spiritually, then we can't have a relationship with Jesus. We won't spend eternal our eternal lives in His presence. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3 that unless a person was given new spiritual life or was born again, right? That's the term. Unless you were born again, they wouldn't be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, the Bible tells us the devil came to destroy life. That's what he did as he entered in this world. He came to bring death and destruction and destroy life. But here's the thing, Jesus came to give life and to give the opportunity for all to experience that life. And because of the fall, each of us needs the restoration of life. And the good news is that Jesus is the one that brings that. As we seek Him and allow Him into our lives, He can restore life to those who are physically dead, but more importantly, He can restore life to those who are spiritually dead. And as we follow the example of Jesus, we allow ourselves the opportunity to experience that restoration. As we give our lives to Him, as we seek Him, and what we also are able to show that opportunity to others as well, to go into the world. Which leads me to my final point, which is this. Jesus can change an entire community. We know actually He can change an entire world, but in this situation here, He can change an entire community. In verse 35, it says, all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw Him and turned to the Lord. This miracle brought everybody, it says all of them, all who lived there, the entire community was changed and transformed. Now, I believe that Jesus, you know, He changes one life at a time. He grabs this life and that life. But when we follow the example of Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to move in and through us, entire communities can be impacted. Entire communities can be changed and transformed by the presence of the Lord. And I guess the question is, do we believe this? Do we believe that He can change our community? And if not, then I guess my prayer is, Lord, help my unbelief, right? Help my unbelief. Because I know it's possible for Jesus to do anything, to change an entire community. And if so, why not ours? Why not ours? Why not Dallas? Why not Polk County? I believe it's possible because I know Jesus can do all things. But if it's going to happen, I also know this, it's going to start with us as followers of Christ. One thing I noticed about this man, Aeneas, he was healed. But he wasn't looking for healing. He wasn't asking to be healed. He wasn't one of those that we've seen in the Scriptures crying out, oh, Peter, Jesus, whoever. He wasn't crying out. Peter found him. Peter went to him. And in today's day and age, there are a lot of people out there that they aren't looking for Jesus. They don't care about Jesus. They aren't looking to be healed. Many of them don't even realize that there's things in their life that need to be healed. When I first started planning the church, I had gone to some pastor things and church planning things, and in that I found this out. Statistics tell us that 60% of the people in our world, 60%, that's a lot. 60% of the people in our world will never walk through the doors of a church, at least on their own. They don't want to have anything to do with the church. They'll never walk through those doors. They'll never come in and try to discover what this is about. That's a large number, 60%. So if that statistic is true, then how do we change our community? How do we make a difference? the same way that Peter did here, by going to them, by going to the people that are out there. You see, what we have in here, this is awesome. I love coming together. I love having our picnics. I love the fellowship and the relationship and the connection that happens here. But this is so that we can go out there and make a difference in the world around us. The be lights that Jesus has called us to be. We come here to get built up. To be encouraged, to be strengthened. Why? So that we can go out there and be the witnesses that He's called us to be to the world around us. This is what the book of Acts is all about. Right? We've been in this book so long that we forget when it started in Acts 1:8. That we're called to go and to be His witnesses to all the world. It's the body of Christ going into the world to see lives and communities changed forever. We're called to follow this example of Jesus. To live the life that He's called us to live. And I'm not saying get you on your soapbox and go out there and start preaching to people, because I don't think that works. I'm saying follow the example of Jesus, because Jesus just went and He loved people. And He met people where they were at. And Peter is following in that same example. He's going out and he's meeting people. And he's meeting people where they're at. And he's bringing life to them. We're called to follow the example of Jesus. And when we're faithful to do that, miracles happen. Lives are restored and communities are changed. That's my heart and desire. And I know I don't do this right. I don't do this as good as I can do it. But I want to do my best to keep following the examples of Jesus, to love my community, to love my neighbors, to be a light that shines bright so Jesus can make a difference in Dallas and throughout Polk County. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your love for us. We know it's because of Your love for us that all these things are true. Because of Your love for us, Lord, we can see miracles happen. Because of Your love for us, we can see lives restored. Because of Your love for us, we can see communities change, Lord. And so we thank You for Your love for us, Your grace and Your mercy that You poured out upon us. And Lord, You call us to do the same to others. To walk in that same love, to walk in that same grace and mercy to those around us, that we may be lights that shine bright for You, Lord. We know not everybody will walk in the doors of a church, Lord, but we can go to them. We can let our light shine in our workplaces. We can let our light shine in our neighborhood, Lord. We can let our light shine in our grocery stores, in our gas stations, wherever we go, those places that You take us, Lord. And as we're faithful to do that and live the lives that You've called us to live, to open up Your Word and to see the things that You tell us time and time again, when we do those things, Lord, it can make a difference in lives around us. People that would have never walked through those doors see something in us that makes them want to come to this place. That makes them want to not come to church, but to find out what it is. What it is that makes them different. The power of Your love. The power of Your grace, Lord. The power of Your Holy Spirit alive in us. May we learn to live that out each and every day, Lord. May we walk these examples so that we can see the miracles happen in people's lives, Lord. Happen in our lives, Lord. We all need You. We all need the power of Your Spirit in our lives. And so we thank You for this word, Lord. May You allow this word to challenge us today, to encourage us, Lord, to speak to us, Lord. I love the fact that, Lord, we're all in different places in our journey. Some of us, Lord, have been following You for years. Some of us are new in this journey. Some of us haven't even made that commitment yet. But You're willing to come and meet us right where we're at, wherever we're at on this road. And so I pray today, Lord, those things, Lord, whatever it is that we need to take from this word today, may you allow it just to speak to us right now. And I also pray, Lord, that as we walk out of this place, that we don't leave it here. That, Lord, throughout this week, that we would allow those things, Lord, to just move in our hearts, that we begin to act upon those things, to truly live the lives that you've called us to live. Lord, what are you speaking to us today? In this moment, in this time of prayer, Lord, as we're before you, speak to our hearts. Show us, Lord, what are the things that we need to grow in? Is it simply loving our neighbors? Is it learning to forgive in the way that you forgave? Is it being bold to pray for people? To see the miracles that you did through your disciples, Lord? Whatever it is, we just pray, Lord, you would speak to each of us where we're at. And as we do our best to faithfully live out the lives that you've called us to live. We thank you for these things. We give them to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.